So it's nice to see you all here today. I do want to say before I go on to thank my fellow musicians over here. I was joking with them this morning that I know they only do it for the money, which of course they don't get it. But they do it out of the goodness of their hearts and out of their love of music, and so I really appreciate them joining in our service today. So a few weeks ago, I was sitting, I was sitting there in church, and I was feeling kind of agitated because, well, I often feel agitated. I suppose that's why. I was thinking, you know, it's like I didn't feel settled. I was thinking, what is it? What do I want from this experience? Why am I here in this church? I've been a member of this church for 20 years. I've devoted myself to it in all kinds of ways, and I treasure every moment of those 20 years. And yet I was feeling there was something that I was like, you know, I was not getting. And I was like, what is it that I really want here? And I realized that kind of what I really want is something to happen in me. You know, some spark. You know, it's not like I enjoy seeing people that I like, but, you know, I can go to Julian's to do that. You know, I want something else that's here that's different from everything else in the rest of my life. And what is that? And I think there's something about that sense of connection, kind of authentic connection, that's not about the social roles that I play every day, which are fine, you know, professor and dad and all those other things. I think there's something I wanted, a real human connection, and I was kind of thinking about that. I talk about this with my students all the time up at the college, that I don't know that this is true, but I believe it's true. I know it's true for me. I think that I live, and I think many of us live lives of, well, there's a lot of pretense, frankly. And I don't mean falseness in the sense of intentionally trying to project a false image, although I do that plenty too, but also just, you know, going through the motions, playing the roles, doing the thing, and there's some value to that, but it doesn't feed me spiritually. So that's what I was reflecting on, and it got me thinking about how this is not a new thing for me. You know, I was like this when I was in high school. I had a bunch of friends who were and still are born-again Christians, and I used to tag along with them to church sometimes to see if I could get what they were getting, and I didn't. I couldn't quite make it work. And in college, I remember I continued even without the influence of those friends. I would go to churches on Sundays, and I'd sit way in the back, and the preacher would be up here and say, you know, at the end, you know, if you feel the touch of Jesus, come on down, and we'll pray with you, and we'll be with you. And I used to just sit and cry, because I so longed for whatever it was they said they had, but I couldn't get myself to go from there to here. I just couldn't do it. Although until one day, I actually did do that. Finally, at the end of the service, I got the courage up, I came up, they took me back, we prayed, I became a Christian. It lasted one day. I greatly respect Christianity, but it's not for me. So I've always continued to look for that, like, what is that? Where, you know, that longing that my heart has for some sort of authentic connection with other people and with the greater all. And I've tried many different ways. I have to say, there is also in me a little bit of mixed intention around this, because I say I want it, but I also do things to undermine it all the time. So I used to, just after I was a Russian major in college, and as some of you know, and I used to travel to the Soviet Union very frequently for work, and for years I would wander around in Moscow or Leningrad. I was going often by myself on these trips, and I'm a kind of a nondescript looking person, and I would wear clothes that were definitely not American, because, you know, if you wore a down jacket or sneakers or something, you'd be picked out in an instant. I didn't want that. So I wore these nondescript clothes, and I spoke Russian pretty well, so I could pass if people talked to me. But nobody talked to me, because I just looked like everybody else. And I was so lonely. I would sit in my hotel room and cry because I had nobody to talk to. Well, of course not. The people who dressed in down jackets and sneakers had people to talk to all the time, because for the Russians, it was very interesting to talk to Americans. But I, you know, I couldn't quite get myself to open up in that way. So I've tried many, many things, many kinds of experiences. Some of you know, during graduate school, I went to a weekend workshop where I went and walked on hot coals. That was great. Totally love that. You go to this place, it's out in the woods, it's in north of Boston, and you sit in this room and you do this in meditations and you talk about fear and do all this stuff. And about 2 hours into this, you go out, you look at this massive pile of sticks and logs, and you watch them light it on fire. And then you go, oh no, really? And then you go back and you meditate on fear for another couple of hours, and then you come out, and then the whole thing is burned down into this massive pile of coals, and then they rake it out in a long, like 10, 15, 20 foot line. And then you all stand around and you hold hands and sing some sort of sacred song, and then when you're ready, you walk across the hot coals, which I did twice. And the second time I went across, a couple of coals stuck onto the bottom of my foot. Those burned me. But the other times, nothing. And it was great. I was just flying for weeks after that. It was such a great experience. And I've done other things like that. As many of you know, I've spent a number of years over at Full Spectrum Center across the street, where we had a lot of experiences that helped us learn about our capacities for love and for trust and for intimacy. And we also have been part of a joy group that came out of this church. I'm part of a happiness group now that Jennifer runs and that several of you are in. And I keep kind of looking, but somehow I can't seem to kind of always do it myself. You know, it's not easy, but one thing that does help me open up sometimes is stories. And so I was thinking about that. So what is it about the stories? I mean, there are some stories. Now, granted, I cry at commercials, okay? So, you know, my threshold is fairly low. But there are some stories that really, they take my breath away when things happen. And it's usually stories where something real happens. Just like in the quote from Robert McKee at the beginning, you know, where there's some sort of truth. I mean, don't think twice that John just sang for us. That is not a happy song. It's about isolation and separation and regret. And yet, there's some human truth in that, you know? So actually, I resonate to that. The first song we sang, Go Tell It on the Mountain, in the Christian version, it's about proclaiming the news that Jesus is born. It's a Christmas carol. In the version we sang, it's an Exodus kind of story, Let My People Go. It speaks to the desire, the longing in the human spirit. So there's something that percolates with that. The ones that really do it to me, though, and I'm really embarrassed to say this, but I'll say it anyway, you know, it's the romantic comedies, you know, it's where the people who, and the where the twins, like the Parent Trap, you know, my favorite movie of every time, where the twins are separated at birth, just like in Shakespeare, yeah, they're separated at birth, they go, oh my God, and the parents get back together, oh, just like, cry and cry. I've seen that movie about 100 times, I cry every single time. And, you know, Pride and Prejudice, you know, I mean, where these people, they're just so blocked from each other, and misunderstanding, and pride, and all the stuff's in the way, and then finally, Now I know, I mean, I am not naive, I know that these stories are fictional and that Happily Ever After doesn't actually look like that necessarily, but I think actually fiction is still truth, right? That is, if fiction speaks to something that's in me that's alive and I resonate to it, then that's as much truth as anything else. So just because my life doesn't necessarily look like that doesn't mean I can't be opened up and touched and moved and inspired by that. So I watch The Parent Trap proudly. Let me just tell you that. And it helps me feel somehow like, you know, like my heart opens up in a way. Yes, there's cheap sentimentality involved, but I kind of value cheap sentimentality in a way. And it's like that one in that picture, if you've seen, I know you've, many have seen The Grinch, you know, whose heart grows 3 sizes that day. You know, it's like, I feel like that. Somehow the stories get into me in a way that I can't make happen with my intellect and my will. For me, and I'm no scholar of literature or of Shakespeare, as obvious, must have been obvious to you, but you know, to me, that's part of what the constant thing in the Shakespeare plays of masking and disguising yourself and then revealing yourself. It's partly about, for me, revealing oneself to each other, because we're so masked to each other so much of the time. And with all of those identical twins in Shakespeare, it's also about revealing yourself to yourself. It's like, wow, there's another piece of me that I didn't even really realize, you know? So that moment of opening, to me, it's so important. I long for it so much, and I don't always know how to get there. I have had moments like this. One was over at Full Spectrum. There was a year in which those of you who've been through Full Spectrum know this. There was a year in which we got assigned like a client or a seeker, and we were going to spend a lot of time doing hands-on healing sessions with these people. and also talking with them a lot and basically getting to know them and trying to help them in their life, whatever that means. And at the end, you have a day when you sit in front of the group, which in my case is about 50, 60 people, for a whole day, and your job is to talk about this person and convey the truth of them as much as you can. And by the truth, I mean not who they are and the personality of their history, and I mean that stuff's important, but kind of who they are really, whatever that means. Is there some way I can do that and convey this honestly? My seeker or client that year was Beth Green, who runs the hair company. Many of you know her. And Beth and I did not know each other that well, and we don't know each other that well now. I don't hang out with her. I don't, unfortunately, go get them. On that day, we're about 3 hours into this experience. I've been up in front, and I'm talking about what I know of Beth and all of this. And at one point, we need a bathroom break, because it's lots of hours. So she goes out to the bathroom. I'm sitting there. Nothing's happening. So I go, well, maybe I'll go to the bathroom, too. So I get up. I go. She's coming back the same time I'm going out, and we meet in the hall. And we hug. And at that moment, I realized I totally and completely loved her. Not in a romantic sense, not in the sense that I loved her life. I loved her. There was another human being there that I actually saw in a way that I don't know that I've ever seen people. Because when we know people well, we see our stories about them. We don't actually see them. In this case, I didn't know her that well. I'd spent all that time with her, and it just exploded at that moment. I didn't even know I was capable of love that was that honest and open. It was such a great moment. And we went back, we finished the thing, and lots else happened. And I've barely had, you know, 5 conversations with Beth in the last 10 years since that happened. But that moment has changed me forever to know that I have that capacity. And the thing that's so cool about it is that when I can see her, you know, I can't avoid seeing myself. And then I see everybody. It's like, you know, it's the reveal. The masks go down. Of course, unfortunately, they go back on again. This is kind of the thing of life, off and on. As I said, you know, this is, you know, I so much want this, but you know, it's not something that I can will myself into, as I said. This now, finally, 30 or 40 years later, I think I finally get a little bit of at least part of what I think is the real Christian message, which is about how that kind of touching of your deepest self and of someone else and then of others, you can't manufacture that. You can't earn it. That's grace. You simply have to be open to it when it offers itself to you. And to be kind of humble about it and to be grateful about it is really all we can do, and just appreciate, wow, it's so amazing. And it's hard because there are times when I really want that, you know, with my kids, for example, whom I love more than creation. And yet, when I'm actually with them, I'm not sure I'm always that authentic, really, because I'm too worried about being a parent. I have too much investment in how they are doing. I want them to be happy. I want them to be whatever, you know. I just make them be happy. I don't care about, you know, how do I show up as me when I'm with my children? Many of you know I have a friend from California I've known since junior high. He's coming here in a few weeks, actually, to do a service with me here in this pulpit. He and another friend, we're going to do some music. So I've been communicating with this guy by tape. We just went digital a month ago. But for 30 years, we've been doing this now, almost 30 years. Carry a tape recorder wherever I go. I tell him everything about my life. He tells me everything about his life. This guy knows every detail of my inner and outer life. And yet, when I'm with him, I'm not sure I'm really always there. I don't know why. He's one of my closest friends. I want that with him, but I worry the same thing. Is he happy? Am I doing I play a role. I mean, it's so habitual. So that's when I need to take a breath and stop forcing and turn again to let myself be opened by stories. And whether it's the story of the pelican and Lee, which I totally love, you know, loving that sort of gawky, kind of angular bird who happens to be hanging out next to your boat, or whether it's, you know, trying to figure out what they're saying in a Shakespeare play, or the parent trap, when these kids meet each other in that little place at the camp and they realize that they're actually identical twins. I'm going to keep listening to those stories. I'm going to keep reading them. I'm going to keep watching them and keep hoping that my heart opens as it has before. Amen. Thank you.